holding Pei Dalet Omid Aleph by the first Mishnah. I'm continuing on the topic of eating the Korban Pesach.
What's the page?
Pei Dalet Omid Aleph. Pei Dalet Omid Aleph, the first Mishnah, three lines from the top. So continuing on the topic of eating the Korban Pesach, the Mishnah says, Kol ha-necho b'sher ha-godol, anything that can be eaten from a large ox. Now, a large ox is already mature, so any bones or cartilage or joints or whatever that are going to harden, or any, not just those, also come to think of it, you have also gidim, which we said yesterday that gidim is a bit of a generic term in the Gemara. It includes veins and tendons and nerves and ligaments and so forth. So in a shur hagadol, everything of those that's going to be hardened already is. Anything that can still be eaten from a shur hagadol, yet also the dihagach can be eaten from a small, from a young goat to a young sheep, which, as we know, the Korban Pesach has to be within a year old. It's kosher already from 8 days old and more, as we had in this week's parasha. As opposed to, in other words, Rashi says the point is that, let's say, for example, now with a young goat or a young sheep, you have various parts that currently are soft and are edible. However, those same parts in a large animal, in a large ox, would eventually be so hard that you can't eat it at all, even as the Gemara is going to say, even if you boil them. Therefore, you're not yotze eating the Korban Pesach, eating those parts. So as we said the other day, you know, you have to, you're bringing a Korban Pesach, you're registering people for your Korban Pesach, and they're going to participate. Each of them is going to be given a kezais of it. So you need to be able to figure out in advance how many kezais of a meat you have. So those parts that are still edible, even only by boiling them from a shor hagadol, those are the parts that you can now, when they're in a diharach, they're soft, and therefore you can include those when you're calculating the number of kazesim you have. But not, let's say, for example, you have bones or tendons or whatever in a shur hagadol, which even if you boil them, they're not going to be soft enough to eat. Those parts then you can't eat. For those parts you can't include in the calculation of the amount from the diharach, from the Korban Pesach, and therefore a person is not yotze if he eats a kazais of those. The Rambam has a different understanding of it, which is that we're focusing more on the din of breaking bones, which we talked about before, and we're going to talk about more in the next Mishnah about the din of breaking bones. We know you're not allowed to break bones in the Korban Pesach. So the point is, anything which is hard enough in a shur hagadol that you can't eat it at all, that kind of thing is considered a bone, and therefore you can't eat it from the Korban Pesach, as opposed to anything which is edible from a shur hagadol is not considered a bone, and therefore you'd be allowed to eat it from a gdi harach without being over on the issue of breaking a bone. The Ravid actually asks on the Rambam that in that case, then the Mishnah is kind of missing the essential point. What it should have said is whatever can't be eaten from a shur hagadol can't be eaten from a gdi harach. And really the question is kind of on Rashi as well, because Rashi is also saying that the point the Mishnah is stressing is that anything you can't eat from the shur hagadol is not something which you can validly be yotze the Korban Pesach eating. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, the roshei knafayim v'haschosim. The things that you can eat from the gdi harach include the ends of the shoulder blades. So in a mature animal, those are cartilage. So therefore, in a baby animal, that cartilage is soft and therefore it's edible. V'haschosim and various other cartilages in the body. For example, Rashi says, let's say you have the cartilage in the ear, you have the in the chest, you have small rib, you have the small ribs at the end of the spinal cord, etc. You have different bits of cartilage all around the body. So that's the point. Also, in a baby animal, there was many more parts of the skeleton that are still cartilage. But those are parts which, once the animal matures, are going to harden and become actual bone. So those you can't eat in the gdi harach, because that word, because according to Rashi, because they're not considered food. And according to the Rambam, because then you'd be over on breaking a bone, even though right now they're soft and cartilage. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabba Rami. So Rabba points out a contradiction in our Mishnah. We're saying that anything that you could eat from a shur hagadol, from a mature shur, can be eaten from the young goat or sheep, which implies the converse, that anything that you can't eat from a mature ox, you can't eat from the gdi harach. you're not yotze if you do, according to Rashi, or you're over on breaking the bones of the Korban Pesach, according to the Rambam. The problem with that is Ema Sefer. But look at the next part of the Mishnah. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. Roshik Nafayim Vahaschosim. We continue and say the ends of the shoulder blades and the cartilages. Now, Vahohani Lomisachli B'Sher HaGadol. Now, on the face of it, those things, the ends of the shoulder blades and the cartilages, on the face of it, you can't eat them from a Sher HaGadol either. They're too tough. Yes, they're cartilage. They're not bone, but they're still too tough to eat. So what is the Mishnah mentioning those? Ella, so Rabbi says, evidently, Tanoi. It must be the Mishnah is telling us there's Machlokas Tanoi. V'hochi Katoni, so it's saying like this. Kol ha-nechol b'sher ha-gadol ya'ochol b'diarach. Anything that you could eat as is from a sher ha-gadol, from a large sher, those same corresponding parts you could eat from a young, soft gdi. V'she'en ha-nechol loy, implying that anything you can't eat from the sher ha-gadol, you can't eat from the gdi harach. The yesh oimrim, that also af roshik nafayim v'aschosim. But then there's a second opinion that says that no, because in a sher ha-gadol, what you could do is you can't eat those cartilages as is; they're too tough to eat. But you could boil them, and then they'll become soft, and therefore that's a valid enough reason to eat them by the gdi harach. So in other words, Rabbi is saying you have two opinions in our Mishnah. One, the Tanakama, who's saying that you can only eat the parts of the Korban Pesach, you can only eat the parts that in a Sher HaGadol would be edible as is without any extra preparation. In other words, that you'd be able to eat them roasted. If you roasted a Sher HaGadol, whatever parts you could eat of that are the same parts that you can eat from the Gdi Harach when you roast it. But not if you need to boil them. But yes, I mean that no, anything that you can boil from a sher ha-gadol, then from a gdi harach you can eat it even though it's only roasted. Rabba says no. Mahin katoni, there's no two opinions in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is giving us a definition. Bahochi katoni, the Mishnah means to begin with. Like Rabba had said, there's two opinions over here. No, what Rabba is saying is the second opinion is actually the only thing the Mishnah is saying. Kol ha-nechol b'sher ha-gadol b'sholka. Anything that from a sher ha-gadol you can eat by boiling it, you ochel b'diarach b'tzli, so that those same parts are the parts that you can eat from the small gdi that you bring as a korban pesach when they're only roasted. Umahein, and what are those parts? Roshik, nafayim v'aschosim, the ends of the shoulder, the tips of the shoulder blades and the other cartilages in the body. So another mission is giving us a definition. The rule is anything from a sher ha-gadol that would be able somehow or other to be eaten, even if the only way you can do that is by boiling it a lot, those parts in a gdi harach, those are much softer, so therefore all you need in order to eat them is to roast them, so fine, those are the same parts that you can eat. Again, according to Rashi then, meaning that you're yotze the mitzvah of korban pesach by eating the kazayis of that, and according to the Rambam, that you're not over on the issue of breaking bones by eating those parts. Okay. Question.
Why the Gemara gives only the shoulder blade example? I mean, you could give better examples than that, the thigh or the forearm or the arm.
Well, no, that's exactly the point. The thigh or the forearm or whatever, those are parts which in a gdi harach, those bones are still cartilage. But by the time you get to a sher ha-gadol, by the time you get to a mature animal, those parts have hardened and become bone. That's the point. The Mishnah is saying you can't eat those parts. According to Rashi, you're not going to be yotze eating those parts because even though right now in a gdi harach they are edible, but later on in a sher ha-gadol they would not. And according to the Rambam, you are going to be over on breaking a bone if you eat them. Right now they're not bone, they're cartilage, but eventually they're going to ossify, eventually they're going to harden and become bone, and therefore you can't. That's exactly the point. We have to focus on things that even in a mature animal, there's still cartilage over there. And the point is, even though in a mature animal, it's cartilage and it's very hard to eat as is. So again, according to Rabba, we actually have two opinions in the Mishnah, one of which says you can't eat those in a gdi harach either, and the other one says you could. And Rabba and Rava saying that no, there's only what the Mishnah is saying is because in a sher ha-gadol, you could boil those cartilages and make them edible, therefore in a gdi harach, you're able to eat them where you're not boiling them, because obviously it's a korban pesach, you're not boiling it, you have to roast it, but because it's a gdi harach, it's a softer animal, they become edible just by roasting, and therefore you're yotze the mitzvah by eating them, according to Rashi, or you're not over on the issue of breaking bones, according to the Rambam.
The korban pesach has to be a gdi harach?
No, well, it has to be a b'di is a generic term meaning a young animal, right? We have in this week's parasha, l'sabash b'di b'chalei b'imari, and it doesn't just mean a goat. It means any kind, or it means any kind of young animal. The Korban Pesach is a young sheep or a young goat within a year of when it was born. Yeah, Rashi in fact mentioned the fact is the Korban is kosher when it's only 8 days old. In fact,
but it doesn't have to be. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it just has to be sometime within its first year. But the, you know what? When you get down to it, also the Gemara, I was going to say that many sheep are born during Adar Nissan time, but actually not necessarily. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah actually tells us that many of them are born of Elul time. But still, you have some of them are born. You have the fact is, the Korban is kosher when it's only 8 days old. So yeah, so you can also have that its bones and its cartilages are very soft. But even if it's a little bit older, even if it's up to a year old, still they're a lot softer than they would be in a Shur HaGadol.
So are you allowed to eat muscle from Korban Pesach?
Of course, the muscle is the actual meat. Think of it. When you eat a steak, what do you think you're eating? You're eating muscles of the animals, sure. Yeah, of course.
So why the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't say exactly, you know, you're allowed to eat this, this, and this? What do we have to
because
say?
Because the Mishnah doesn't have to. Obviously, you eat the meat. Obviously, you eat the meat of the Korban, and most of the meat constitutes muscles. Obviously, you eat that. There's no chiddush in that. We know you have to eat all the meat of the Korban. The chiddush is that you have parts which are not, you usually wouldn't think of eating them, like the cartilages, but the fact is, in a G'di Harach, they are soft and edible, and those same parts in a Shur HaGadol do become edible by boiling them, so therefore you have to eat those as well. Therefore, those are also considered meat, as opposed to, in other words, the point is also, first of all, it means you have, so the Ravid actually has a third explanation. Besides, again, Rashi is saying you yotze the mitzvah with it, the Rambam says that the point is you're not over on breaking a bone. The Ravid has a third explanation. He just says, the Mishnah is just telling us, you know, in other words, that it's a mitzvah to eat those parts. Now, for example, let's say we talked about, for example, the gid, the sinew of the neck, which is very hard. You're not expected to eat that. And therefore, if you're not eating it, then you're not over on loisei sidum menorat boker, the same way as if you leave over the bones, you're not over on that. And the same way you leave over the marrow in the bones, because there's no choice, you can't get it out. So any parts, so that I would understand, our Mishnah is saying, any parts that can be eaten in a Shur HaGadol, even if it means, like Rava says, you have to boil them for a long time to soften them, those are the parts which in a diarach, you have a mitzvah to eat those. And you have a mitzvah not to leave those over, just like you have a mitzvah not to leave over the rest. So obviously, yeah, the muscles and the internal organs and the brain, as we're going to say on Amud Beis and so forth, yeah, obviously you have to eat those. There's not really a chiddush in that. The Mishnah didn't have to mention that. Okay, let's go on. Tanya Kavasei de Rava. We learn a brisa like Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. Kol anecha b'sher agadol b'sholka. Anything that you can eat from a sher agadol by boiling it. Yo'ochol b'diarach b'tzli. Those are the parts that you can or that you have to eat from a diarach when it's roasted. Umahein. And what kind of parts are we talking about? Which by a sher agadol, the only way you can eat them is by boiling them. But with a diarach, you don't need to boil them in order to eat them. They are roshik nafayim baschosim, the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilages in the body. And also, by the way, the gidin harakim nidonin kabasar, also soft gidim, which again, gidim is a generic term, meaning a lot of different structures in the body, but soft ones, nidonin kabasar, are also counted like meat, and therefore they have the same din. So that would include, for example, various nerves, blood vessels, obviously after the blood is drained out of them, it would include tendons, it would include ligaments, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So Itmar, so now we have a machlokas about that last point. Gidim shesofen lahakshis. What about you have gidim that are eventually going to become hard? Now again, in a young sheep or a young goat, they're still soft, but eventually if the animal was allowed to grow up, then they would become hard. Rashi says we're talking about the gidim of the neck. Tosfos points out we had a machlokas about that already before. We had Rav on page Gimel of the days saying that the gidim of the neck are not included in Bosser. So Tosfos says that no, we're talking about the gidim of, for example, of the spinal cord. So in other words, there would be three kinds of gidim. The Braisa had mentioned gidim harakim. So those are the various kinds of gidim that are embedded in the flesh of the animal. So those would include things like nerves, and those would include things like softer ligaments and whatever, which there's no question you have to eat those then, the Braisa is mentioning. Then you would have, according to Tosfos, you have, let's say, gidim of the spine. the nerves or whatever running down the spine. Where right now, when the animal is little, then they're still soft, but eventually, but they're not really embedded in the muscles so much. And eventually, when the animal gets older, then they're going to be hard. And then you have gidei tzavo, you have the gidim of the neck, which those we had Rav saying before that those you don't have to eat b'chlal. Rashi, who says that we're talking about the gidim of the neck, he would have to understand that Rav is going to argue with what we're going to say now.
So to this turns out. Isn't the carbon Pesach only allowed to be less than a year old?
Yeah, that's what we said. It has to be less than a year old, yeah.
So even when if it's 2-3 months or 8 months, there's a big difference.
That is indeed true, yeah. Right. Rashi had made the point that the minimum the animal can be is 8 days old. So yeah, at 8 days old, obviously you're going to have a lot more parts that are soft than you would at 2 or 3 months old. Yeah, enough now. Okay. So gidim has soifan lahakshas. So if you have gidim that are eventually going to become hard, according to Rashi, we're talking about gidim of the neck. According to Tosfos, we're talking about gidim of the spine. So Rabbi Yechanan Amar Nimnan Alein B'Pesach. Rabbi Yechanan says you could register for the Korban Pesach, having in mind that you're going to eat those. In other words, those are considered part of the meat, and a person eats a kezias of those, then he's yotze. Rish Lakish Amar Ein Nimnan Alein B'Pesach, and Rish Lakish says that you can't. Which would be, according to Rashi, then it would have to come out that Rav, who said before that you can't, that he said that you don't need to eat the Gidei Tzavah, he would be like Rish Lakish. According to Tosfos, it's a separate machlokes. So the underlying machlokes is, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nimnan Alein, because he says, Bosar Hashdal Linen, Rabbi Yochanan says you could register for the Korban Pesach, having in mind that you're going to eat those, because we go according to how it is now, and right now those Gidim are soft enough to eat, so therefore you could be Yotze with them. Rish Lakish, Amar Ein Nimnan Alein. Rish Lakish says you can't because Bosa B'Soifas Linen. We look at how eventually they're going to be. When the animal gets older, then those Gidim, the Gidim of the neck, according to Rashi, the Gidim of the spine, according to Tosfos, are going to be hard and tough, and you're not going to be able to eat them. Therefore, Rish Lakish said you can't even eat them now. So in other words, even according to the Rambam, we're not talking about the question of whether if you eat them, you're over on the issue of breaking a bone. The Rambam would understand that like Rashi, we're talking about the question of whether you're yoytze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach with eating them or not. So, Eisvei Rish Lakish Lo Rabbeinu, so Rish Lakish says to Rabbeinu, how can you say we go according to how it is now? We said in the Mishnah, we said whatever you can eat from a large shur, which is mature and all of its bones and whatever have hardened, are the parts that parallel to the parallel parts you can eat from a young di, umahe, namely what are those? The Braisa said, roshik nafayim vaskosim. We said that means things like the cartilage from the end of the shoulder blades and the other cartilages in the body, implying hanein. So on the face of it, that means only those things. When it says mahein, means only those things. So that means only those. Avo gidim shasofim lahakshis loy, but not gidim that are eventually going to be hardened. So then what are you telling me that we can eat those? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan tells him no. The Braisa is not telling us, or the Mishnah is not telling us an exhaustive list. Tonahani v'ha'ed v'hoedim mahanach. The Mishnah and the Braisa are mentioning these things, the Roshet Nafayim Vaskosim, but we're meant to understand that there were other kinds of things like them as well. Because after all, the reason is, why would we say that it includes other things? Because Hani Mai Taima, after all, why are we saying that the shoulder blades and the cartilages are edible from the Gdiarach? Johamis Akli to Shara Godo Bishoka, because we said you could take those pieces from a shura gadol and boil them for a long time, and eventually they'll become edible. Hanafnami, nisakvi shura gadol b'shoka. Well, then you can say the same thing. It's true as far as these gidim shasloif and mahakris. Yes, right now they're tough and hard, but not right now. Right now, in a baby animal, they're tough. They're soft. If the animal were to grow up, they would become tough and hard. But even when they do, they're still, you could boil them like you would from a shura gadol, and they'd still be edible. So therefore, they're included in the Mishnah's rule and in the Braisa's rule, and therefore you're yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach by eating them. So in other words, when Rabbi Yochanan says that we go according to how it is now, he's saying that rule that Tosfos explains, he's saying that rule is limited by the concept that we mentioned in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, that it has to be something which is edible b'shur nagodol. Again, you have many things in a di harach that would be edible right now, because they're still soft. For example, you have, when we're talking about cartilages, again, you have various bones that in a diharach are right now not bone yet. They're still cartilage. Eventually they would ossify and eventually they would become bone. So those are not included. Those you tack and not yotze with eating. So the rule is, Rabbi Yechanan would say, you go according to how it is now, when you have something which in a shurah gadol would be edible. Whereas Rish Lakish says you ignore how it is now, you focus on how it is later. If it's not edible later, then it's not considered edible now. So Tosfos talks about a couple of possibilities of what Rish Lakish holds. Either Rish Lakish holds that maybe the roshik nafayim vaschusim, the cartilages and whatever, maybe those can be considered meat more than the gidim are. So that's why he's saying, fine, I can accept that you eat the roshik nafayim vaschusim. I can't accept that you should eat the gidim, which are eventually going to harden, because I hold that the gidim have less right to be called meat than the roshik nafayim vaschusim. That's one possibility. Another possibility, Tosfos says, is the difference is that with the gidim, you have like this. In this animal itself, in the gdi itself, eventually these gidim will become hard and inedible. If you let this animal grow up, if you didn't shecht it when it was under a year old, and you let it grow up, eventually these particular gidim would become hard and tough and inedible. As opposed to when we talk about the cartilages, the fact is, even a gdi is, after all, a goat or a sheep is a smaller animal than a shur. So even when it grows up, its cartilages, the parts that stay cartilage, for example, let's say to take another example, Rashi mentioned, let's say the ear, the cartilage of the ear, still stay softer than they do in a shur. Therefore, Rish Lakish might hold those have more of a right to be considered basar, more so than gidim, where in this very animal itself, they're going to become hard and tough. Amalei Rav Yirmiyah l'Rav Avin. So now Rav Yirmiyah says to Rav Avin, since about Rav Yechanan's opinion, I have a problem with it. So ki azlos v'kamei de Rav Abohu, when you go to Rav Abohu, Romilei, point out to him a contradiction in what Rav Yechanan is saying. Mi amar Rav Yechanan gidin shesoifa mahakchis nimnan alein v'pesach. Is it really true that Rabbi Yechanan said that these gidim, which are eventually going to harden, meaning, again, as Tosfos said, even within this same animal itself, we're not even talking comparing to a shur and gadol, within the gdi itself, eventually, if it grew up, they would become hard and tough. And Rabbi Yechanan is telling us that Rabbi Yechanan is saying that you can register and eat them for the Korban Pesach, and you're yotze the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach with them. Alma basa hashdaz linon. So you see that Rabbi Yechanan is saying that you go according to how it is now. The problem with that is, but we know that Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan like this. Now we have in Chulin we have like this. The Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us over there, you have various kinds of things from an animal that are not considered flesh, and therefore they're not metame tumas oichlin, they're not able to become tame as food. Then you have some other ones which even though right now are still edible, they're still soft, and therefore they're considered food. One of those examples that it mentions over there is ur harosh egel harach, shel egel harach. You have the skin of the head of a young calf, young meaning Rashi said, brings from the Gemara over there, means as long as the animal is nursing. Now, so the point is that skin is still soft enough that you can cook it together with the meat and eat it. So therefore, the Mishnah says that it counts towards the kezias when we're talking about, so the Mishnah says over there that we do count it. It is metame tumas oichlin. It does become tamei because it's considered food, because it's still soft enough that you could eat it. So Rish Lakish asks Rabbi Yechanan, what is the din about the skin of the head of this young calf? Maushi tamei, does it become tamei with tumas oichlin? But amalei ein metame, and Rabbi Yechanan tells him it doesn't become tamei. Alma bosa b'seifas linen. So you see, you don't go according to how it is right now. You go according to how it is eventually. Eventually, this animal is going to grow up, and the skin on its head, like the rest of its body, is going to become tough, and you're not going to be able to eat it. Actually, by the way, there is a Tosfos in Cholin that points out you can boil leather for a very, very long time, and then it's edible, but even then it's only edible ayed chak. In Ogemar over here, we're talking about things, which once you boil them, you can eat them more normally. So the point is that Rabbi Yechanan says that the skin of the head of the calf is not matame. Alma bosa the soifas linen. So you see that you grow according to how it is at the end. In the end, the animal is going to grow up, and the head and the skin of its head is going to be hard. So therefore, even now we consider that it's hard, and therefore it's not matame to masenchlin. So you see, Rabbi Yechanan goes according to how it is later. So why in our Mishnah, why in connection with our Mishnah is Rabbi Yechanan saying you go according to how it is now? So Rav Ovin, sure enough, went and asked the question to Rav Abohu, Amalei, and Rav Abohu answers him, the Rama Locha, whoever asked you that question, which now we know from the Gemara, was Rav Yimya, Loi Chosh Lekimche, he wasn't concerned about his flour. What does that mean? It actually says that it's a figure of speech. In other words, imagine you have a person who just, whatever you give him to grind in his mill, he's going to grind up without caring whether he's going to get flour from it or whether he's going to get dirt or psoilus or whatever. So in other words, whoever asked you this question, it wasn't a valid question. He should have realized, and he should have realized that. Rabbi Hanan explains the expression differently. It means, imagine you have a person who just eats without worrying about whether the food is actually nutritious or not. He doesn't care whether it's going to waste. So it means, in other words, the same thing. In other words, whoever asks you that question is not concerned about his level of learning to make sure that he's asking good questions. Because you should know, because as a matter of fact, in this case of the Gidim, Rabbi Yechanan ended up changing his mind and agreeing with Rish Lakish, based on the ended up agreeing with Rish Lakish that in fact that so what happened was Rabbi Yochanan had told Rish Lakish that the skin of this head of the animal is not mitame, because we go according to how it is later on. So Rish Lakish said, what about the Mishnah in Chulin that says that the skin of the head of the animal is considered food? But Amalei and Rabbi Yechanan told him, "Al takniteni, don't provoke me. In other words, don't bother me with that Mishnah. Shavaloshin yachid and ishoina oisa, because I learned that Mishnah as that it's a loshin yachid. My version of that Mishnah is that it's only according to one Tana, and that the other Tanoim disagree with him." In other words, what happened was, originally Rabbi Yechanan thought that that was a Stam Mishnah, and he always says Halacha is Stam Mishnah, and therefore he held according to it. Therefore, that would mean that we have to go according to how it is now. Now the skin of that animal's head is soft, therefore it's Matamet to Masechlin. The same way now these Gidim are soft, and therefore you can eat them from the Korban Pesach. Later on, Rabbi Yechanan remember that this is not a Stam Mishnah, it's only a Das Yochid. So therefore he changed his mind and told Rish Lakish, that is why I'm telling you that in fact the skin is not Tomei, is not Matame Tumas Eichlin, because there's only a Das Yochid that says that it would, and that means now that in the Machloikus that he has, as far as Gidim, it means that he changed his mind and accepted that in fact the Gidim, Shasoif and Mahakshis, that the Gidim we're talking about here in the Mishnah, which eventually are going to harden, that we talked about in the Gemara over here, that are going to harden, are Taken not considered meat, and therefore you're not yotze from eating the Korban Pesach from those. And that's Taka the Halacha. Usually when we have a Machlokas Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish, usually the Halacha is like Rav Yechanan, but here the Gemara is saying that Rav Yechanan himself ended up agreeing with Rish Lakish, therefore the Halacha is like Rish Lakish. So therefore Rav Abohu says, don't ask from Rav Yechanan's opinion over there, because in fact Rav Yechanan's opinion here in the Gemara about the Gidim is only his original opinion, and then he changed his mind. Mishnah says, "Hashover se'etzim pesach ha'tahor. If a person breaks a bone from a korban pesach which is tahor, hareiz a loika avoyin, then he gets malchus, because the Torah says ve'etzim lo yisish beruvoy." A reason, by the way, why, I mean, ultimately it's a zeirus hakosa that you can't break it, but a reason why you shouldn't break it, the chinuch brings an idea. Since we're supposed to be eating the korban pesach like free, rich people, only a poor person has to break open the bones in order to gnaw at the marrow, like he's desperate, he doesn't have enough meat, so he needs to get every bit of meat that he can. But a rich person would never do that. On pesach night, we have to act like free, rich people, and therefore we're not breaking the bones. So therefore he gets malchus. Avalam moisir b'tahor, but if a person leaves over from a korban pesach which is tahor, now he's over on the issue of loisir sirim menu adbreker, but there's no malchus in it. Vashover b'tahor, or if a person breaks a bone from a korban pesach which is tahor, ainu loikeh sabayin, he doesn't get malchus for that for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off b'shleima moisir b'tahor. I can understand why the person who leaves over from a Korban Pesach, which is Tahor, why he doesn't get Malkus. The Tanya, because the Braisa, and we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, Loi say Sirim Menor Adboker, the Pasuk says, don't leave over from it until the morning. Bahan Nosim Menor Adboker Vagoma, whatever is left of it until the morning, you should burn in fire. Meaning, Bah HaKosav Litin Esah HaLoi Seseh. So the Pasuk with that is coming to put an Esah after the Loi Seseh. In other words, the Torah is making it into a Lav HaNitek LaEseh. The Torah is telling you, don't do this, but if you did it, then make up for it by doing this, by burning it. So loyma she'in loyka. So that teaches us, therefore, that you don't get malchus for it. This is a general rule that you don't get malchus for a lav hanitek la'eseh. Rashi says two reasons. Number one is because the pasuk itself is implying that if you were over on this lav, your punishment is, instead of that you get malchus, instead of your, not really your punishment, but your consequence is that you have to do an essay instead to make up for it. So therefore, you left over from the Korban Pesach. You were over on that mitzvah. You can make up for it by burning it on the morning of the first day of Chol HaMoed, like we learned before. The second reason Rashi says is because where b'chlal did we learn that lavim get malchus? We learn it from the fact that the Torah tells us about malchus in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, and right after that it talks about the lav loisachsim shor b'disho. You're not allowed to muzzle an ox while it's threshing grain. So we learn from loisachsim. We learn then that loisachsim shor b'disho is the example of a lav. Is the primary example of a lav that gets malchus. And therefore we learn that in order for a lav to be high of malchus, it has to be similar to that. Now, with loisachsim, there's no essay afterwards. If you muzzled the ox while it was threshing the grain or doing other work for you, there's no way you can undo that afterwards. The Torah doesn't say, and if you did, then unmuzzle the animal and let it eat extra or something. Therefore, it's not a lava nitiklasa. So we see that kind of lava gets malchus, implying, therefore, that a lava nitiklasa doesn't get malchus. Okay. So that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yaakov, Oymer Loimin Hashem Huzeh. Rabbi Yaakov says that's not the reason why a person doesn't get malchus. Nothing to do with the fact that it's a lava nitiklasa. Elo Mishum to have a lava shame by Maisa. The reason you don't get malchus for leaving over from the Korban Pesach is because there's no maisa involved. It's a passive thing. You didn't eat it by chatzos, and there was meat left over from it. But you didn't actually do anything. There can only be malchus for something where you're actually doing an action. So you don't get malchus for that kind of lav. So we understand, therefore, why the Mishnah tells us that a person leaves over from a Korban Pesach, even if it was a Tahor one, why he's not getting malchus. Because the lava nitik la'aseh, or because the lava chain be maisa. Ela shorve b'tomei minolon. How do we know that if a person breaks a bone from a Korban Pesach, which is tomei, how do we know he's not over on the lava and doesn't get malchus? The answer is, da'omakrova, etzem loisish b'ruvoi, because the pasuk says you shouldn't break a bone in it. So the word boy is a miut, means boy, but kosher. But like apostle, means only in a Korban Pesach that's kosher are you over on that, not in a Korban Pesach that's posel. So therefore, we had a couple of days ago, we had a machlokas, whether that applies to any Pesach that's posel, or whether it only applies, if it didn't have shasa kosher. We distinguish between a Korban Pesach that was posel at some point right after the Shchita or before the Zrika or whatever, versus a Korban Pesach that was kosher at that point and then became posel later on. Okay. So let's talk more about that detail. Tonen Abonin, the etzem lo sish b'ruvoi, the posuk says you shouldn't break a bone in it, and again, the word boy is a miut, so it means the kosher related posel. You're only over on the isur, on the lab, if you break a bone from a Korban Pesach that is kosher, not from one that's posel. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, we learn like this. The pasuk says, "V'vayis echad ye'ochol." The pasuk starts by saying that you have to eat the Korban Pesach in one house, and then the end of that pasuk says, "V'etzem loisish b'ruvoi," that you shouldn't break a bone in it. So we learn. So in other words, there's a hekish between the mitzvah of eating it in one house and the issur of breaking a bone. Meaning, we learn from that, "Kol ha'roi la'achila." Any Korban Pesach that is roi to eat, that's suitable to eat, yesh b'mishum shviras etzem, then the issue of breaking a bone applies to it. V'she'ein roi la'achila, if the Korban is not able to be eaten, ein b'mishum shviras etzem, then there's no issue of breaking a bone in it. So the question is, my benayu. So okay, Tanakama is saying that we've said boi mean b'kosher v'lev apostle. Rebbe is saying any Korban Pesach that can't be eaten, then you're not over. What's the actual nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rebbe as far as when you're over and when not? So we're gonna have in the Gemara like 8 different answers. Answer number one, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Pesach haba b'tumah ikah benayu. the nafka minna, the practical difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim would be, what if the Korban Pesach is being brought b'tumah? As we learned previously, in the Perek, that if most of the people are Tameh, if the Koyanim are Tameh, if the Klei Sharis are Tameh, etc., then we bring the Korban Pesach b'tumah. So now we have a nafka minna. Lamanda Omar kosher, if according to the Tanakhama, that the difference is whether the Korban Pesach is kosher or fossil, high fossil. The fact is, intrinsically, this Korban Pesach is fossil. You have a Xeris HaKosuv that you're allowed to eat it. That you're potter from bringing, that you're potter, you don't have to bring Pesach Sheni, and that you can eat it. But essentially, Tumah Dechoya HiBetzibur, as we've learned before, Tumah is not really Mutter Betzibur, it's only Dechoya, it's only as a last resort that we say it's Tahar. So intrinsically, this is actually a possible korban. Just here, Xeris HaKosuv, that the Torah says that it's kosher, and you're yotze with it. So therefore, the Tanakhama would say it is considered a possible korban. Therefore, you're not over on the lab for breaking a bone from it. Whereas according to Rebbe, that you focus on whether it can be eaten. The fact of the matter is, you can eat this Korban Pesach because, fine, it's only a Xeris HaKosuv, but the fact is that Xeris HaKosuv allows you to eat it, so you are able to eat it. So therefore, according to Rebbe, you would be Chayav Malchus for breaking a bone from it. Okay, that's answer number one. Rav Yosef Amar, Ki Hai Gavim Dekulei Alma Ein Bemishum Shviras Atzim. Rav Yosef says, no, in that case, there's no question that a person will be chayev for breaking a bone from it, because after all, the Rebbe la'akulei hu da'asi, because after all, Rebbe is coming to be mekel. We can't say that Rebbe is coming to be machmir. Rebbe is mentioning if the korban can be eaten. So that means, in other words, he has to be distinguishing whether the korban can be eaten or not. So that would be, that's a kula. And after all, this Korban Pesach is possible. So even Rebbe would have to agree that intrinsically it is possible, and therefore the issue of Shviras Ta'etzim doesn't apply. No, the argument between them would be about the case we talked about previously, where the Pesach was brought for Tumah in the first place, but where originally it was Tahar and Kosher, and later on something happened to make it possible. For example, we talked about the other day, let's say, for example, if after the Zrika, the owner died, or the owners became Tomei, or what have you, and now there's nobody available to eat. So now, Lamanda Amar Kosher HaKosher, according to the Tanakhama, who says that the question is whether it's kosher or possible, well, it is considered kosher, because after all, it was kosher, and all of the Avodas were done by Kashrus. Afterwards, it became possible, doesn't matter. Lamanda Amar Roy L'Achila, but according to Rebbe, who says it has to be Roy to eat. Roy L'Achila, the fact is now you can't eat it. Therefore, according to Rebbe, you would not be chayev for breaking a bone from such a Korban Pesach. Tosfos brings a girsa over here. Now the girsa we have in front of us over here is that Lamanda Amar Kosher, that Lamanda Amar Kosher, it is kosher. Tosfos brings a girsa actually later on. That there's a girsa in what Rabbi Yosef says, that no, according to the opinion that requires it to be kosher, the fact is right now it's not kosher. Because the fact of the matter is, right, it started being brought for kashrus, but right now it's not kosher because the owners died or became tomei or what have you. So therefore, according to that girsa, it would mean that the chachamim would say that you're not chayev for breaking a bone in it. And Rebbe, in that case, it wouldn't be kosher. So therefore, you're not chayev. And on the other hand, according to Rebbe, who says that it has to be edible, the fact is, at one point, it was edible, because as soon as the Zrika was done, in principle, it could have been eaten. Okay, Lamaisi, you can't eat it until the night, and by the time the night comes, the owner has already died, or what have you. But nevertheless, Rebbe would consider it that it could be eaten. So according to that Dusa, it comes out the opposite of the way we have it over here. Rebbe would say that you are Chayav Malchus for breaking a bone in it, and the Chachamim would say that you're not. On the other hand, Tosfos doesn't like that. Girsan, we'll discuss that in a little bit, that's a shame, when we get to the part where Tosfos says that. Abaya gives a third answer. No. Kulei Alma Koki Hai Gavna Ein Ben Mishum Shviras Atzim. No, in a case like that, where the Korban had a Shasa Kosher, but now it's possible, everybody would agree that there's no issur of shviras etzim in it. My time, or why? Because hashtamias hal posulu. The fact of the matter is, right now it's posul, so there's nothing to talk about. It is posul, and it can't be eaten. So both the chachamim and Rebbe would agree that you're not chayef for breaking a bone in it. Ella, so no, Abaya says the third answer. The nafkamina between the Chachamim and Rebbe would be, what if you broke a bone in the Korban Pesach before the Yomtiv began, on Erev Pesach? Lamanda, Amar Kosher, according to the Tanakhama, who says that you focus on whether the Korban is kosher or pasul, or kosher, but the fact is the Korban is kosher. Therefore, you chayiv Malkus. Lamanda, Amar Roy Lachila, but according to the opinion that it has to be, according to Rebbe, that it has to be Roy Lachila, Hashalab Barachilu. The fact is, right now you can't eat it, because you're only allowed to eat the Korban Pesach beginning on Pesach night. So therefore, you can't be chayev for breaking a bone in it.
Does it matter if it's already cooked or not cooked?
Cooked and not cooked, we're going to talk about later. That's going to be another one of the answers later on the Amud. Right now, according to Abaya, it doesn't, on the face of it, it doesn't matter whether it's roasted or not. The fact is, the korban is kosher, but it's erev Pesach. Even if it is roasted, you can't eat it yet. We learned before that you're, at the very least, you're oivran an eser, because the pasuk says, "V'ochel asabasa b'alayla hazeh." You have to eat the meat on that night, implying that you can't eat it before that night. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Maisi, though I have a contradiction to that. If you're telling me that according to Rebbe, there's no issue of breaking a bone in the Korban Pesach mibe'od yom during the day, but we learn in a braisa, Rebbe Yomer, nimnin al moyach shabarosh, you're allowed to register for the Korban Pesach and having in mind that you're going to eat from the brain inside the head, the ein nimnin al moyach shabakulis, but you can't register having in mind that you're going to eat the marrow inside one of the long bones. Kulis primarily means a thigh bone, but it means in general any of the long bones that contain marrow. You have to realize, by the way, in Hebrew, Hebrew, the word moyach means in general any kind of soft stuff that you have within a bone. So it's used equally for the brain inside the skull, and also for the marrow that's inside bones. So Rebbe is saying you can be yotze the Korban Pesach with the marrow in the head, not the marrow, the brain that's inside the head, but not the marrow that's inside the bone. So, al moyach shabarosh my timer. Now, why would we say that you're able to eat the marrow inside the head? The brain inside the head. The reason must be my timer. Because you don't have to break bones in order to get at the brain. You're able to drag it out by way of the nose. It actually describes that you stick a stick into the head after it's been roasted, and you pull out the brain through the nostrils of the animal. So therefore you can get it out without breaking bones. And therefore you can be yotzer. Now the shapagami. Now, if you're going to say that Rebbe holds that you're allowed to break bones in the Korban Pesach before the Yomtiv begins, because again, according to him, the key thing is whether the Korban can be eaten, and right now you can't eat it yet, then kulis nami. So why shouldn't you be able to be yotze and register for the Korban Pesach, having in mind that you're going to eat marrow from the bones? Kulis nami, a long bone also, nitbere ve'od yoim, we should be able to break it before Yomtiv begins, but not kula moyach today, then we can take out the marrow, v'nimnu alei, and then we can register for it. So the fact that we can't seems to imply that, according to Rebbe, you're not allowed to break bones, v'ba'od yoim either. So Abaya's explanation doesn't work. The answer is, omalach Abaya, the answer is Abaya can answer you as follows. V'litaneh, nu, and according to your own svara, that you're even asking the question, so why do you have to mention what you could do before Yomtiv begins? Even after Yomtiv begins, there'd be a way of getting the marrow out of this bone. Nicey gumarta, we would be able to take a burning coal, v'nechusale, put it on the bone until it burns a hole through the bone. And we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that if you burn bones of the Korban Pesach, you're not over on the Etzem Leisish Berubo. You're only over if you break the bone. So over here, burning a hole through would work. And then the Nikla, so then we can burn a hole through the bone. The Nakula Moyach Didei, then we can take out the marrow. The Nimni Alei, and then we'd be able to register for it. The Hatanya, because after all, we learn in a Braisa. Aval asoda fat somos, but if you burn bones of the Korban Pesach, v'amachatech begidin, or if you cut gidim, now we learned on Oman Aleph about the various gidim in the body. We said some of them are edible, some of them are not. But even if you cut the ones that are not edible, then there's no issue of breaking a bone in it. So why are you asking about why are you asking that according to Rebbe, you're saying that it's not possible? You're saying, in other words, again, like this. Rebbe is saying you can't get out the marrow. And you're saying, Lechura, according to Rebbe, according to Abaye's answer, you could get out the marrow before Yom Tov. But the fact is, never mind that. You could get it out on Yom Tov itself by burning a hole through the bone. So why then would you say that Taka, that we're not Taka, you can't do that. You can't burn a hole through the bone to get at the marrow. Abaya Oma Mishum Poka. So Abaya says that the reason is because the bone might break in the course of it. When you're trying to burn a hole through it, instead of burning, it might end up breaking, and then it comes out that you broke the bone after all, and you were over. Now, fine, okay, it's a, you know, Dovashen and Miskaven, you could argue is Mutter, but first of all, there are opinions that Dovashen and Miskaven is Usser, and even if we say it's Mutter, it might almost be a Psychoratia. Anyway, Rava Omer Mishum Hefsed Kodshim, Rava says the reason is because you're ruining Kodshim, you're come Mafsid Levi Adayim. Because after all, by burning a hole through the bone, you may cause that you're actually burning away some of the marrow via dying. Namely, Dilma Ochel Nura Mimayach Didei. Because when you're trying to burn a hole through the bone, then you might end up burning some of the marrow as well. And therefore, then you're ruining Kodshim, which you're not allowed to do that either. There's a mitzvah to protect Kodshim and not allow them to be burnt. Now, of course, over here, if you don't do that, then eventually that marrow is going to become noiser, and you're going to have to burn the marrow together with the bones anyway, like we learned the other day. But nevertheless, it's better not to be poisolate via diet. Better to not be poisolate with your own hands. So actually, the story of Lameshiv has an interesting point about this. He says, it's kind of a catch-22, he says, if you were allowed, according to Rava's answer, if you were allowed to burn your way through the bone, then it would come out you could eat this meat, and therefore you'd have a mitzvah to not allow it to become noiser. But on the other hand, then the problem is that then you're also to allow any part of it to be burnt, which when you're trying to burn your way through with a coal, then you might end up burning some of it. And therefore, so what happens? You can't burn your way through. Therefore, that meat is not able to be eaten, and therefore it ends up becoming noiser. So it's almost like a catch-22, which prevents you from actually getting at that meat in order to be able to eat it, from getting at that marrow in order to eat it. So anyway, once we establish that you can't on Pesach night take a coal and burn your way into the bone in order to get at the marrow. So once we say that, then Abaye will finish up his answer. Then we're not even going to allow you to do that, according to Rebbe, even to do that before Yom Tov begins, because you might end up doing it on Yom Tov itself. So in other words, even though it's true, according to Rebbe, according to Abaye's understanding of Rebbe, you would be allowed to break bones before Yom Tov begins, and you would be able to get at the marrow that way, but nevertheless, we're going to say we're not going to allow you to do that, because instead you might end up doing it on Pesach night, and then you're definitely going to be over on the issue of breaking a bone. So Abaye's answer still works that according to Rebbe, if you break a bone before Pesach begins on Erev Pesach, then you're not over on the Issur D'Oraisa, you're over on an Issur D'Rabbanan. And fine, there's no Malkus for an Issur D'Rabbanan. Okay. So far we've had three answers to explain what Rebbe and Chachamim are arguing about. We had Yirmiyah saying that if the Pesach comes B'Tumah, then the Chachamim would say that you're not chayef for breaking a bone in it, and Rebbe would say you are. Rebbe Yosef had said that it's a question whether it had a shasa kosher or not, and we have the Gersa in front of us in the Gemara that the Chachamim would say that you are over, and Rebbe would say you're not. And according to the Tosfos brings the Gersa maybe the other way around. Abaye is saying it's a difference of whether you break it on Erev Pesach or after Yom Tov begins. The Chachamim would say that a person is over only if he does it. That a person is over even if he does it on Erev Pesach. And Rebbe would say no, only if he does it on Pesach night. Rav Papa gives a fourth answer. Kol ki hai gavna kula alma yesh b'mishum shvinas etzem. In such a case, if you did it on Erev Pesach, everybody would agree that you're over on the issur of shvinas etzem. My timer, because it's true. Why is that? Because it's true. Right now, you can't eat it. But la'uta mechzi la'achila. The fact is, that night, it will be mutter to eat. So therefore, even Rebbe would hold. Right now, you can't eat it. Fine. But nevertheless, it's still considered roi la'achila. Rather, we can say that Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing if a limb of the Korban Pesach, if part of it went out, if part of it was taken out of the place where it's being eaten in, which we're going to learn the dinim about, we're going to learn the dinim about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. That, with the Torah, again, the Torah tells us about the Korban Pesach, the Vayis Echad Yet Ochel, it has to be eaten within one house. So imply, and the Pesach says, Vayisotzi Min HaBayis Min HaBosach Chutza, you're not allowed to take any of the meat out of there. So therefore, we're going to learn on Pehei Yom Beis, what happens if part of a limb ends up going out. Let's say you're sitting near the door, and accidentally you had part of a limb, whether you took part of a limb, you're eating, let's say, the leg from the Korban Pesach, and accidentally you let some of it stick out of the door. So what happens? So manda omer kosher. So according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, that you focus on whether the korban is kosher or possible, har kosher. The fact of the matter is the korban itself is kosher. So therefore, what you would have to do. So therefore, you can't just break off the part that came. You can't just break off or cut off the part that went outside. You'd be over on the etzem leisish beruvoy. So the Mishnah on Pehei Yom Beis is going to talk about what you have to do. What you have to do is you have to peel off the meat off the bone until you reach the joint, and then you cut it off at the joint. So according to that opinion, according to the Tanakhama, then you would be over on breaking a bone in that case, because the Korban Pesach as a whole is kosher. Or kosher. Or manda omer roi la'achila, as opposed to, according to the opinion that says, that according to Rebbe, who says that we focus on whether it's roi la'achila, hai la'achila. The fact of the matter is, it's not roi to eat, because this particular limb is not roi to eat. Tosfos actually asked the question, so what do you mean? How do we call it kosher, but not roi la'achila? Doesn't roi la'achila imply kosher? So that's from Rashi's Lashon, it seems that that's the difference. In other words, the part inside is kosher, therefore it's true the part outside is not considered roi la'achila. But the part inside is, and therefore we focus on that. The Or Sameach explains, to answer Tosfos' question, that what we mean is the Pesach as a whole is kosher. This particular Aver is possible, fine, but the rest of the Korban is kosher, and therefore the Tanakhama would focus on that. And in fact, the Gemara says, Kivitanya. And in fact, we have an opinion about that in a Braisa. Rabbi Shmuel, Bnosh, Rabbi Yechem, and Broi Barimer, Aver Shiyotzim et Tosse Veshavroi, if part of a limb was taken out of the house where it was being eaten in, and you broke off that part, he holds there's no issue of breaking a bone in it. So when the Mishnah is going to tell us later on Pehei Yom Beis, that you have to peel off the meat until the bone, and then remove the meat all the way to the joint, and then cut it off at the joint, that's according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechem ben Broi would be holding that there's no issue in breaking a bone in it, so according to him, you could just chop off the bone right there. So the same thing, Rav Papa is saying, Rebbe would hold, therefore, that you're allowed to chop it off and you're not over on the etzem loisish b'ruvoy, because that particular bone, that particular part of the bone is not able to be eaten because it went out. Okay. Answer number five, Rav Sheshes Bredir of Idiomer, Kol Kahai Gavna Dekola Alma Ein B'Misham Shvidas Etzem. In that case, everybody would agree that you're not over on the issue of Shvidas Etzem, Dehai Ever HaPosel, because after all, this particular limb that was taken out is Posel. The nafkamina between them, between Rebbe and the Chachamim, would be if the Korban Pesach is raw, or actually we learned before that na doesn't really mean raw, it means half cooked, like rare, where we know you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach like that, also chum and na. So that would be the nafkamina. Mandu ama kosher ha kosher. The Tanakhama, who says that it depends whether it's kosher or posel, it is kosher. It's not roasted yet, so that it's not fully roasted, so you can't eat it, but it is kosher, and you could roast it. Umanda Amar Roy Lachila, whereas Rebbe, who focuses on whether it's able to be eaten, he would say Hashda in a Roy Lachila. The fact is, right now you can't eat it because I'll totally let him know. Therefore, there's no issue of breaking the bone in it. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that's no good. Kokihai Gavna Yeshma Mishum Shvira Satsim. In that case where it was raw, then there would be an issue of Shvira Satsim, and a person would get malchus for it. My time of the Hachazi Lachila. After all, it is something that eventually you could eat. The Matvi Leva Ochile. After all you have to do is you have to roast it, and then you can eat it. Ela Shvira Sa'alya Ikaminayu. And after a minute would be, what if you break the bone in the alya, in the tail of the animal? Now, so the difference is, Lamanda, I'm a kosher, ha kosher. According to the Chachamim that you focus on whether it's kosher, the Korban Pesach is kosher. Therefore, breaking the bone of the Alya is like any other bone. Lamanda, I'm a roi lachila, but according to the opinion that we say that it has to be roi l'achila, high in a roi l'achila. The fact of the matter is the bone in the alya is not roi to eat the alya l'gavaya salka, because the alya of a sheep gets burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, if a person breaks it before it was offered on the mizbeach, then he wouldn't be he wouldn't be over according to Rebbe, because that part is not eaten. Rashi points out, by the way, this would only apply if the Korban Pesach is a sheep. If the Korban Pesach is a goat, then you don't have that nafkamina, because a goat's tail, the alya of the goat, is not large, and you don't bring it on the mizbeach. You just eat it together with the rest of the animal. Okay. Rav Ashi, I'm a kol ki hai gavna vada in mishum shvidas etzem. Rav Ashi says, no, in that case, you definitely wouldn't be chayiv for breaking the bone of the alya. Da vada ain't a roi l'achila kval. For sure, that's not considered roi l'achila. Even the Tanakhama, who focuses on kosher and posel, would agree that you're not chayiv for breaking that one. The nafkamina would be, what about a limb of the animal that doesn't have a bone, that doesn't have a kezias of meat on it? If you say it's a question of kosher or posel, well, if it doesn't have a kezias of meat on it, it's still kosher. It's not a kezias. Lamanda omer roi l'achila, but according to Rebbe, who says that it has to be roi to eat, but in a shir achila, you need to have a shir of what's considered eating. Eating in halacha is always considered a kezias or more. Therefore, you can't consider that it's roi l'achila. Therefore, he'd be potter. Ravina Amar. Ravina disagrees with that. He says, no, kol ki hai gavna less than mishum shvidas etzem. In that case, if there's less than a kezias of meat on it, then there's no issur of shvidas etzem. The be'inat shir achila. For sure, you need to have a shir enough to eat. And less than a kezias is not a shir. Ela eva she'enor l'kezayis basa b'mokim zeh v'yasha l'kezayis basa b'mokim acher ike b'nayu. Rather, says Ravina, the nafkamina would be, what if the limb doesn't have a kezayis in the particular place where you're breaking it, but it has a kezayis of meat on a different part of the bone? That would be the nafkamina. L'manda oma kosher ha-kosher. If you say it depends kosher or puzzle, then it's kosher, and you have a kezayis of meat elsewhere on it, therefore he's chayim. L'manda oma roi l'achila, but according to Rebbe, who says you focus on whether it can be eaten, then, but in a shir achila, b'mokim shvira, what you need is you need that shir to be of eating. You need the kezias to be in the same place, b'mokim shvira, in the place where you're breaking the bone, b'halakha, and here you don't. Therefore, according to Rebbe, he's not chayav malchus. Okay, so we had 8 different answers over here. So the Gemara says, Tanya kav bo minayu. Now we learn a braisa that agrees with 4 of them. That 4 out of these answers are that we see that Rebbe says. So again, we had 8 different cases that various Amiroyim are saying where Rebbe would say you are Chayev and where Rebbe would say you're Potter and the Chachamim are saying you're Chayev, or maybe actually according to the Yirmiyah's answer, it's the other way around. Rebbe would say you're Chayev, the Chachamim would say you're Potter. So we learn a Braisa anyway, like 4 of these answers, that there are in fact 4 of these things that Rebbe says, I hold you're not Chayev for breaking a bone. Namely, Titania, Rebbe Omer, the Pasuk says, Mavais Echad Ya'achal Be'etzem Lo'isish Beruvoi. The Pasuk says you have to eat it in one house, meaning that it talks about eating the Korban Pesach. And later in that Pasuk, it mentions that you can't break a bone in it. Meaning, as we said before, Ala Kosher U'chayev Ve'ena Chayev Ala Pasul. So you're only Chayev for a Korban Kosher, not one which is Pasul. Now, what do we mean, Kosher versus Pasul? Number 1, Hoysalo Shasa Kosher, V'nifsal B'Shasa Chila. If it had a shasa kosher, if it had a time when it was mutter to eat, and then it became posel during the time when you're eating it, so for example, it became noiser, or it became tomei, or what have you, ein b'mishum shviras etzem, then there's no issur of shviras etzem, which is like, so that would be like Rabbi Yosef's answer. That would be like Rabbi Yosef's answer, that it depends whether it had a shasa kosher or not. So again, here's where Tosfos mentions that you have a different girsa in Rav Yosef's shita before, that it was Rebbe would say you chayev and the Chachamim would say you potter. So then, in that case, the girsa in our braisa would have to be yeshvoy, would have to be that there is an issur of shvidas etzman in a coincidence. The problem with it is, Tosfos says that we're trying to find, the whole sugya over here, we're trying to find that we're always trying to say that Rebbe is saying there are more cases where you're potter than the Chachamim would, according to Rabbi Yosef's answer. according to Rabbi Yosef's answer, if we have that Gusa in Rabbi Yosef's answer and in the Braisa over here, then it comes out that Rebbe is being machmir over the Chachamim, and we're saying throughout the Sugya that Rebbe is being makel over the Chachamim. So therefore, Tosfos prefers the Gusa, as we have it in the Gemara in front of us, that Rebbe is saying that the first one, where you're not chayev, is where it had a shasa kosher, but now it's possible, because now it became tomei, or now it became noser, or what have you. The fact of the matter is, right now, you can't eat it. Another case, yeshba shira achila, yeshba mishum shvira setzem, also only if there is a shira achila, only if there's enough on it to eat, which is a kezayis, only then is there an isser of shvira setzem. Ein bo shira achila, ein bo mishum shvira setzem. If there's not a kezayis on it, then, if there's not a kezayis on it, then you're not chaya for shvira setzem, because there's not shira achila. So therefore, that would be, that would be like Rav Ashi's answer, where there's no kezayis and meat on it. Then also haroylam is beyach ein mishum shvira se'etzem. Then actually Rashi points out that one could be either according to Ravina or according to Rav Ashi. Either he could mean that there's a kezayis and meat anywhere on the bone, or he could mean that there's a kezayis and meat in the place where you're breaking the bone. So that could be according to Rav Ashi or Ravina respectively. Then Rebbe continues haroylam is beyach ein mishum shvira se'etzem. Also, the part of the korban that is burnt on the mizbeach, that's to be burnt on the mizbeach, then there's no issur of shvira satsim. Namely, that would be specifically the bone of the tail. So that would be according to Rav Nachum Yitzchok's answer. And also, b'shas achila yeshvei mishum shvira satsim, also only at the time when you're allowed to eat the korban pesach, is there an issur of shvira satsim, shaloi b'shas achila in mishum shvira satsim, but not when it's not at the time of eating it, namely on Erev Pesach, then there's no issue of Shvira Sa'etzem, so that would be like Abaye's answer. So four out of the answers over here that we tried to explain what Rebbe holds, we see in this Braisa that Rebbe does in fact hold that way. Okay, the fact of the matter is that the Halacha is not like Rebbe, the Halacha is in fact like the Chachamim. Therefore, in these various cases, so the Rambam passes as follows. When the Pesach is the Tumah, so when the Mishnah had said that only in a Pesach Tavar is there an Isser and there's the Mishnah of Malchus, implying that if the Pesach is brought for Tumah, then not. In Rav Yosef's, so if the Pesach is brought for Tumah, then there's no Lav of Shvira Se'etzem. In Rav Yosef's case about Shasa Kosher or not, if it had a Shasa Kosher, even though right now it doesn't have, even though right now it's not kosher anymore, nevertheless, Shvira Se'etzem still applies. You're still not allowed to break a bone in it. In Abaye's thing about the Ge'od Yoim, we're saying the person would be chayev for breaking it, even though it was Ba'od Yoim, because even though you can't eat it right now, it is kosher and it could be eaten that night. In Rapapa's case about Eva Shayotzim Mitzosai, the halacha would be again like the Chachamim. The fact is the korban as a whole is kosher, and therefore we'd have to do like we're going to learn tomorrow, that you have to peel off the meat from the bone and then cut it and then remove that bone at the joint and then throw it away. Or keep it rather with the rest of the noiser if it's got marrow in it, whatever. That was Rapapa's answer. In Rav Sheshet's Breidit of Edi's answer about the difference about whether the carbon, about if the carbon is raw, you're also chayev, because the fact of the matter is, again, you could roast it and it'll be kosher. In the case of the alya, you're not chayev, because the fact is the alya is brought on the mizbeach, so it's not roy lachila at all, even though, as Rav Ashi said, even the chachamim would agree a person is not chayev for that. If there's not a kezayis basar on it, if there's not a kezayis basar on it at all, then there's no issur of shvira se'etzem. But if there's a kezayis basar on it in one place, even though you're breaking it in a different place, then there would be an issur of shvira se'etzem. So that's how the Rambam paskins in these respective halachas. Okay, and we'll continue tomorrow with more halachas about these dinim of breaking bones in the korban pesach. Yishkoyach.
Good luck.